Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. A couple weeks ago on the Campbell Conversations, we hosted a debate between the candidates vying for the 53rd State Senate District seat. Today, we host a debate between Bob Antonacci and John Mannion. They're the two candidates running for the State Senate's 50th District seat. Bob Antonacci, the Republican, is the Onondaga County Comptroller. John Mannion, the Democrat, is a science teacher at West Genesee High School in Camillus and head of the school's teachers union. The 50th Senate District comprises most of Onondaga County, with most of the city of Syracuse carved out, as well as parts of Cayuga County. It has been represented by Republican Senator John DeFrancisco. Our debates are structured as shared conversations that emphasize differences. There are no opening or closing statements, and there is no timer for individual responses. But I'll make sure that each candidate gets a fair chance to participate. I've also asked each candidate to be brief and to try to answer the question posed, and I may intervene if they are not. Mr. Mannion, Comptroller Antonacci, thanks to the two of you for making the time to talk to me today. Now, let me start with the first question, and it's got a premise behind it, so I want to check the premise. To a significant extent, I think you're both running as moderates within your own party. So let me just ask, would either of you object to that characterization of yourself?
I would prefer independent.
Independent within your own party. Okay. All right. And you?
I'm fine with
you're
moderate.
You're fine with moderate. Okay. I imagine you might object to that description of each other, but we'll get to that in a minute. So Comptroller Antonacci, let me start with this. So given that, you're an independent within your party. John Mannion just thinks of himself as a moderate within the Democratic Party. What do you think are the most significant policy differences between the two of you when it comes to representing this district?
Sure. I believe that the property tax cap should be made permanent. I don't believe that the New York Health Act is the way to go. I believe that 81, while I'm open to a community grid, I believe that we need to keep the traffic going in the north-south direction on 81, but I am certainly willing to entertain and work with all of our folks to have a hybrid option, because I think that's what would keep the community together. Yes, it would cost more money. So I think those are three major differences.
Okay, thanks. And Mr. Mannion, how do you see the differences between the two of you?
Well, I would say that the greatest contrast is the fact that I come at this with a completely uncorrupted view of the political system. I've never run for public office before, and Bob has served as county comptroller for some time and run for this office and others. So I think it's an important time for a variety of different people from different backgrounds.
Those are backgrounds that you're discussing.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
That's okay. No. What about policy differences? He listed three specific ones.
Sure. Well, if I'm going to respond to his statement, I believe that I will say that coming at it from a different view, I do have different insight on those issues. And if we're going to stick with those issues, I would agree that we do have contrasting views on at least two of them. But I believe on the property tax cap increase, or the property tax cap that's in place, I think I have a pretty good knowledge of how that works, and that also there can be some improvements to it. So I don't believe we have an opposing view on that. But the others two, we may. Yes.
Okay. I'll stick with you, Mr. Mannion, and I will get into this background that you introduced. So I was going to go there. You have a video in which you suggest that, quote, career politicians, end quote, you just used that phrase, mm-hmm. have either hurt or ignored this area. I think that's the suggestion in your video pretty clearly. And you emphasize that you're not a lawyer. You make that clear. Senator DeFrancisco is a lawyer, and he represented this district for 26 years, so arguably career politician there. Did he do a good job?
John DeFrancisco is a well-respected man, and rightfully so. He served this area well for a very long time. And did he do a good job? I believe in many areas he did. I had the opportunity to work with him on several occasions, and I did find him over time to be receptive to issues that were important to me. He was also very direct in his statements, in that if he was not going to budge on a certain issue, you knew that. I appreciated that for sure, because we didn't waste any time, and I never left his office with a false sense of hope if there was none. So that being said, going back to the political part of this, is if you look at a map of the 50th Senate District, there have been dramatic changes to that map over the course of the 26 years that John DeFrancisco was in that seat. And it is no mystery that we are the ninth most impoverished city, and we have the highest concentration of poverty for people of color. And John DeFrancisco, being a powerful man, over that time, less and less of the core of this district was a part of his district. And that's an area that I think we need to address. I think we need to make sure that the issues of poverty are addressed here, because without the success of some of us is not the success of all, and none of us succeed.
Comptroller Antonacci, the same question about Senator DeFrancisco. Do you think he did a good job?
I do. I think he did a great job. I think he's an honorable man. I think he worked hard. He returned phone calls. He did the best he could with the situation that that we're all under. And there's just so many things that are hurting us in this state. But I think he will be missed.
And Mr. Mannion brought up the issue of poverty and the concentration of poverty in the city. And, of course, that's a huge issue. We could talk for days about that. But linking it to sort of the focus that the senator took and how the district evolved. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, again, as I mentioned at the outset, most of the city is not in the district. So how
that's correct.
How do you then think about that? I mean, the city is important for the region, no question about that. But most of it is not in this district.
Well,
so
how do you balance that? There's no
that?
Doubt that we can't have a donut hole in the middle of our community being the city of Syracuse. We need more of a Danish. And I'm borrowing that from somebody that said that. I think it's a very appropriate comment. But the senator did contribute resources to the city. He did represent the city for a while. I remember being on the board of directors of the Valley Little League, and we received a grant from the senator to build a batting cage. And we had a lot of minority young boys and girls playing baseball and softball in the Valley Little League. So, I can't speak to every initiative that he went through with the city school districts, but I've never heard of any grumblings that he wasn't there for the school districts. And, listen, we've got a lot of issues in this community, from schools to poverty to medicine. I mean, you name it. It's a full-time job. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in moving this community in a different direction. But I would say he did the best he could.
I'm Grant Reher, and you're listening to a debate between John Mannion and Bob Antonacci, the two candidates vying for the state Senate in New York's 50th District. Now, Mr. Mannion, Comptroller Antonacci, in his initial response, ticking off the issues on which you disagree, immediately mentioned the New York Health Act. And I did want to talk about that a bit, because it's a potentially really significant change for the state of New York. And in the debate between the Senate candidates in the 53rd District, and that aired previously on this program, we spent quite a bit of time on this. This act would establish essentially a single-payer health care system in the state of New York. It has passed in the Assembly already. It's a piece of legislation that many new Democrats running for the state Senate have made a centerpiece of their campaigns, and it may come up for a vote early next year if the Democrats take control of the Senate. It would involve an enormous restructuring of the present health care and insurance system for citizens living in New York. So, Mr. Mannion, are you in support of this act? Would you vote for it if it came up?
So let me give a little bit of background before I answer, please. I do sit on a benefits committee with my school district, so I've seen the impact that the Affordable Care Act had and then also the repeal of it. And I would say that I work in a place where
when you say the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
Well, what I'm referring to is with the most recent federal tax plan, some of the parts of that. I guess if I used rabbit ears or quotations, that's not probably going to come across on the radio very well. But that's what I meant
revisions
by correct. Yes.
Okay.
So I apologize for that. But I would say that in sitting on that committee and in working in representing a group that has excellent coverage and excellent affordable coverage, I still have seen the negative impact with some of my members that have gone through major health situations. And as a result, they are in financial bankruptcy as a result of it. I have multiple examples from my experience of going door to door where people who have good quality jobs still pay $20,000 in premiums and have an $11,000 deductible. I've talked to small businesses where last year, small business owners, where last year they had a 22% premium increase. And as a result of that, they can't update equipment. Other benefits were cut. They couldn't hire new people. Finally, one last example would be I know someone who 5 or 6 years ago, they have a small business. It cost them $300,000 to insure their employees, and now the increase are $300,000. And that's because with the quote-unquote repeal or revisions to that, the system is set up to fail. The plans are poorer. They're more expensive. And that's why I believe it is a good time to consider this health act. And, you know, it's gone through the assembly. I will try to wrap up quickly. It was gone through the assembly. I've spoken with senators. I've spoken with assembly people. This is a major change that we have to get right. It's not going to be rushed through. It's going to be, it may need some revision. And I believe that the people in there know that this is such a big deal. They've got to get it right, and they will.
Well, let me push you a little bit harder on your support of it, though, because I didn't really hear an answer there. So
okay. I do support it.
You do support
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay, you support it. Because, again, many of your Democratic colleagues are running on very strong statements in support of this. And essentially, Rachel May's criticism of incumbent Dave Valesky was he didn't work hard enough in favor of it. So, Comptroller Antonacci, you're not in favor of it. Tell us why.
That's correct. Well, I think, you know, I don't want to use the term it's a solution in search of a problem because I don't want to demean the fact that we need help in health insurance. But what I don't think needs to be happening is a complete overhaul of the insurance, taking away the right for people to pick and choose their own insurance providers, to be creative with health savings accounts or flexible spending accounts or other types of high deductible plans with an HSA, which is a tax advantage, you know, that you could take a, you know, take on your tax return. So what I'm saying to you is this. We've got 19 million New Yorkers insured in some form or fashion. Actually, 6 million of them are in the Medicaid system. We've got about 1 million that are uninsured. So why don't we target the 1 million that are uninsured? Let's fix that problem, number one. Then the rest of us who do need relief, I mean, there is no doubt that, you know, people are making choices between paying their NIMO bill or paying health insurance. We have to bring transparency to the costs that are built into medicine. And you know what some of that cost is? Taxes and fees. It's ridiculous, the stuff that is buried. And I say stuff, taxes and fees that are buried in health insurance costs, insurance plans, medical delivery services. It's just like utilities. And the worst part is we don't allow it to be disclosed. We don't allow the hospital or a utility to disclose the actual cost of those plans that include taxes and fees. So I would say we can fix the current system. It's going to need creative thinking. It's going to need a guy with like an 11-year record as a controller that has performed numerous audits of governmental programs and governmental agencies, and who's also a CPA that has a different professional upbringing to be able to attack those problems. So I guess the answer is this. I know we need relief. I'm going to work on relief, but I don't think the New York Health Act is the answer.
You're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media. I'm Grant Reher, and I'm talking with Bob Antonacci and John Mannion. They're the two candidates running for the state Senate seat in New York's 50th district. I want to stick with this Health Act for a little bit longer because, again, I just think it's a potentially really significant change for the state of New York. Mr. Mannion, I asked this question of Rachel May a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to ask you this question, too, because I think a lot of folks immediately have a concern when they think about this potential change, and that is that, the state of New York is going to be running it. Mm-hmm. And so can you give me an example of a large program that the state of New York runs well currently?
Absolutely, again. Okay. The SUNY system. It is the best state university system in this country. It is vibrant. It is broad. It has depth. I attended SUNY Binghamton is what I would call it many years ago. And in between the years of 1986 to 1990, tuition was $1,250, at least my first year. And those costs have gone up, and I understand that. But it is a massive system that has provided a pathway for many people, some of them out of poverty. And anything you want to do, any career you want in New York State, you can access that system and 100% you will have a career in that field.
Okay. And Comptroller Antonacci, What's your view about this? Does the state have the capacity and the experience and the track record to run something like this well?
Well, I think, you know, no, the answer is no. We don't have any faith in a large governmental program being able to handle something that is so personal and so near and dear to our hearts as health insurance and choice of doctors and things like that. I just want to say, though, when we talk about the drastic change that this will bring about, even the conservative estimates, and I'm using conservatives with the liberals that want this plan, their own estimates by the RAND Corporation say that the state budget will almost double. State income taxes will go up approximately 18%. If you look at some other estimates, you're talking about a $226 billion additional expense program, okay? It's just unmanageable, and it's not what we need to do to fix the current health care. Bill Hammond from the Empire Institute just did a letter, editorial in the Post talking about the disastrous effect that this will have on our hospitals. But I would add that we do some pretty good things with medicine. I echo John's comments that the SUNY system is our jewels. We have a great education. It's something that we should be bragging about from an economic development standpoint. And locally, as the comptroller, I think we do a very good job in some of our social service programs and our health programs. And I think our DOT, state DOT, is very good. We have got very good roads for the most part.
So on that issue of costs, Mr. Mannion, I imagine you're going to want to explain how other costs are going to come down, like premiums and cost to employers. So go ahead if that's where you want to go.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, people, we're already paying for it. We're just paying for it in a different manner. And this is what I hear from talking to people is, you know, and I have to speak to public comment on this, which is, you know, 70% of our citizens are in favor of this, and actually a majority of Republicans are. And the reason that they are is because their health care costs, sometimes for coverage that is of lower quality, is crippling them. It's crippling them economically. And as a result, they're ready for it because they've seen the impact on their bottom line. People have high deductible plans and high premiums. And Bob and I probably have great insurance that's affordable, but not everybody does.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about that. So what do you say to convince someone who has health insurance through their employer, and it's pretty good health insurance, and they're happy with it, that this is a change that they should get behind and not see it as a threat and perhaps even think maybe it's time to relocate from the state if this is where this is going?
Well, what I would say is that for people with great coverage that is affordable, I think the changes are on the horizon. I think that's what we've seen. I know myself on my benefits committee, what is being pitched to us are much higher deductible plans with much a reduced level of coverage. I think I'll just leave it right there, is that that these changes are happening already on the benefits committee that I sit. I've seen that. And, you know, like I had said before, it appears as though the system is set up to fail, and people are already seeing that, and that's my concern with it, and that's why I think we have to put every option on the table.
Comptroller, do you have any final thoughts before we move on to another topic?
Yeah, I'll make it quick. My wife's a registered nurse at Kraus up here on the Hill, and she's what they call a denial specialist, and that's not a river in Egypt. So her job is to go out and fight with insurance companies to bring back maximum revenue to the hospital. There's no doubt that the system needs to be fixed. My commitment is I think we can fix that system before we start talking about a massive, no-going-back takeover of health care by the state of New York.
Let me stick with you then and ask another health-related question. And this is an issue that's also, I think, likely to come up next year, depending on the outcome of all these different elections for state Senate, or maybe even regardless. That's the Reproductive Health Act. And this would codify abortion rights in Roe versus Wade into state law and, according to some, extend those rights. Are you in favor of that law?
No.
Okay. Do you want to explain
your
position?
Sure, happy to. You know, I think it's unfortunate that certain politicians in this society use things like reproductive health and women's care to make it a political football. Roe versus Wade is not going anywhere. It is the law of the land. There's no necessity of a statute. Roe versus Wade is the law of the land. Let's just assume that there's some worry that the Supreme Court is going to overturn it. You're probably looking at a states' right issue. And New York was the leader in abortion in the 60s and 70s, made abortion legal in 1970, I believe. It's not going anywhere. With specificity on the RHA, I believe that it allows non-doctors to perform abortions up until the ninth month, and I can't support that.
Mr. Mannion, what's your position on this?
I support the Reproductive Health Act, and I do so because I believe that Roe versus Wade is in great jeopardy of being overturned, and I believe the majority of the constituents of this area are glad that law is in place because it allows women to have the freedom to make those decisions. The words of our president are in a public setting is that we are going to overturn Roe versus Wade, and we've seen changes occurring in the Supreme Court to make it more conservative, so that could absolutely happen. I feel very strongly about the fact that the majority of legislatures, if not all of them, in this state, in this country, on the Senate Judiciary Committee, on the Supreme Court, are made up of males, and males are making these decisions for women. And when you talk to a variety of different people, including women, they feel strongly about not letting laws get in between themselves and their health care providers.
On that point, what about this point that Comptroller Antonacci brought up at the end of his comments about the specter of late-term abortions being performed by non-doctors? Because that criticism has been made before.
That's just, I believe, inflammatory action to scare people when in fact we're trying to preserve a woman's reproductive rights. And
is that in the law?
Either he has not read the law or he doesn't understand it. I don't believe that that is, no.
Okay. Explain briefly why that is in the law, Comptroller.
The law allows anyone that is licensed under Article 8 of the New York State Education Law to perform the abortion. That's nurses, chiropractors, doctors. That's my opinion.
I'm going to have to interrupt that. That is not the individuals, the healthcare practitioners that would be allowed to do that under very limited circumstances. It is my understanding that the only people that can do that are certified nurse practitioners under the guidance of a doctor. So it's that kind of language that is politicizing this debate.
And what about the timing of these abortions as well? This idea of late-term abortions that are, in a sense, elective, or another phrase that has come up is, you know, to select the sex of the child and that kind of thing.
Well, that's it. Again, I think that is rhetoric that's out there to try to scare people. I'm going to share my mother's story, and my mother's story is that in the mid-60s, she miscarried in the seventh month of pregnancy. And in my conversations with her as an adult, that this is prior to Roe v. Wade, that she was forced to carry that pregnancy to term, and that never should have happened. She was actually told that she would not be able to have children after carrying that pregnancy to term. Fortunately, they were wrong on that because I was born in 1968, so I'm here. But it is that type of situation, not the inflammatory language situation that we use. That's the type of situation that we need an updated law in New York State. So if Roe versus Wade is overturned, we don't have women flying to Colorado or flying to Canada to have some common sense medical care for them.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, and my guests are John Mannion and Bob Antonacci. They're the candidates for New York's 50th State Senate District seat. Let's move on to economic development. Those policies in the state have been controversial. They've attracted criticism from both sides of the political aisle. Comptroller Antonacci, do you think these policies have been effective? What changes would you make to them if you could?
They've been a disaster. And as county controller, I have audited economic development initiatives, economic development programs. I've also been thwarted from auditing certain economic development agencies like OSIDA. I have spoken out using the anti-piracy statute against projects that have been put forth before the Industrial Development Agency. Bottom line is this. There are some tools out there. Industrial Development Agency needs to put the word industrial back in its purpose. We shouldn't be giving tax breaks to hotels and medical practices that are moving from one side of the county to the other. It's funny because we've given breaks to hotels and room occupancy tax is actually flat, if not down. The bottom line is, I could probably go on to this for the rest of the show, but here's the deal.
And we only have a couple minutes
left.
Yeah, I know.
Here, so I'll give
literally.
You the, yeah, no, I know. I'll give you the quickie. The bottom line is this. We need to the skin has to be in the game with the developers and the businesses that are coming here. They have to bring the promises. They have to bring the jobs. And then we can reimburse them or help them with a subsidy after they've delivered. And we need accountability on all those programs.
Mr. Mannion, we really only have a couple minutes left, at least for the broadcast portion of this conversation. So tell us what your view of the state's economic development policies are so far and what changes you would want to make in a minute or less.
Yes. Well, I have a jobs plan and I have a five-point ethics plan, and one of those is greater oversight from an independent commission overseen by the state comptroller's office to make sure that when public funds are distributed on a public or a private project, that there is a real process there and that it is vetted. And, you know, and I do agree that there needs to be accountability for projects that are out there that promise a certain number of jobs and never deliver.
And have the policies then produced jobs or not, do you think? Because that's been an issue of debate between the gubernatorial candidates.
We've seen evidence of both. It's well documented with the Buffalo Billions, and we have a film hub here that I hope flourishes. But a lot of things were promised with that and never came through.
Quick final word on the film hub. Your eyes went.
My audit's on record on gov.net/controller. It was a boondoggle. And again, the tax credit program needs more help. New York City gets way more of that tax credit than we do in the rest of the state. So I think that program needs to be worked as well.
Okay. That's all the time we have for at least the broadcast portion of this. We are going to continue this conversation online, and so listeners can go on to the WRVO website and find that. But that was Bob Antonacci and John Mannion. They are running for the 50th State Senate District seat. The election is November 6th, and I want to thank both of you again for taking the time to talk with me.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank
John
you, Bob,
well. Too.
Thank
you,
yes.
too, John. Appreciate it.
You've been
two gentlemen debating.
Yes. We appreciated that very much. You've been listening to the Campbell Conversations on WRVO Public Media, Conversations in the Public Interest. And again, for a continuation of the conversation that you've just been listening to, please go to WRVO.org.